Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I am your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are doing the Las Vegas Raiders. I think I finally got it right. I may have finally anchored that in my brain that they're in Vegas and not in Oakland now. Now we're going to do the Vegas passing game. And I think John Gruden's a good offensive coach. I think he's probably a bad, like a front office guy. I don't think he's got that totally down. There's plenty of reason to suggest that he's actually a pretty decent coach. So some of the stuff I'd like him to do a little bit more. But at the same time, I think I find it interesting. Like, there's some negative splits here that make zero sense. Like, and I've talked about this in other forums, but like the Derek Carr, negative split for play action just is seemingly impossible. And that's gone on for years, you know, where he's basically been at or worse with play action than he has been on just clean, regular throws. So in that light, and I'll get to this in a second, seeing some of the play action stuff where it's like, hey, they run it less than league average. Well, they're like, yeah, well, they probably should. Like, that's actually probably plus EV because you got your quarterback. You got your quarterback being the being not good at it, right? Like, that's actually, even though generally speaking, it's like a 3-point shooting thing, right? If your guys just can't shoot threes, I mean, it's the Suns, right? Like, Devin Booker and Chris Paul are really good at shooting like mid-range twos. Like, that's not how you draw it up, but that's kind of what you're dealt, and so you do that, and you kind of you suffer some of the consequences of that, but you probably do that better than most other teams, and by the time like you sort of add it up, it's pretty close to being there with the other teams that are shooting a ton of threes. So that's kind of what it is with Carr. So I don't really fault Gruden for that. I mean, his pass rate, again, he's a little low in terms of that. He's 22nd. But yeah, I think people make fun of him, and I think it's probably unfair in terms of he's been actually very productive in terms of what he's done. I kind of wish that he was a little bit more aggressive in terms of going towards the pass game, because they're actually pretty good at it. So pass rate 60.2%. That's 22nd in the league. Yards per attempt 7.95, so almost 8 yards per attempt. That's fifth best. 5.1 touchdown rate 17th. So again, pretty neutral there. Scramble rate 4.6%. That's 11th in the league. Play action, as I was talking about earlier, 24.7%. That's 20th. But again, 6.2 yards per attempt. I can't get over this stat. I can't get over it. 6.2 yards per attempt on play action for Carr, 8.5 on non-play action. That's actually for the team, but it's almost all Derek Carr. They were 17th in terms of pass blocking last year. They ran the ball pretty aggressively in the red zone. So that's one thing with Carr, if they were to sort of switch it up, or if this is going to be a philosophical thing, I don't have a ton of there's not a ton of reason to think that's going to change. So that would be one thing that I would say, in favor of Jacobs, for example, and maybe cap some of the touchdown rate upside on Carr, is they run it a lot down there. Again, it's 11th most in terms of their rushing percentages. It's not first, but just sort of keep that in mind. That would kind of need to, you would kind of think that would need to tilt a little bit more towards the passing game for Derek Carr to have a huge elite season without the rushing upside. In terms of the running back, so in terms of all the routes and everything, 0.80 routes per drop back for the running back, that was 21st. So that figures to potentially change with the addition of Kenyon Drake. So we'll see there. 0.15. Targets per drop back, 16th, 0.12 receptions per drop back. It's actually 13th. And then 0.83 yards per drop back. That's actually 20th. So that's actually interesting in terms of some of the stuff that Jacobs wasn't getting. It was going other ways. Now here's where it gets bad. Wide receiver. And this is actually, I think that there's, the Derek Carr's stats are unbelievable considering these stats. 2.41 routes per drop back for the wide receivers, that's worst in the league. 0.39 targets per drop back, that's worst in the league. 0.26 receptions per drop back, that's 31st. yards, 3.87. That's 24th. He basically got amongst the worst production in the NFL out of the receiver position and finished fifth in the league in yards per attempt. Like, that is just an incredible, incredible stat. And I think, like, there's upside here with him. And it's, you know, it's not sexy, but it is, like, if he gets the most efficient route is a receiver route in terms of yards per route run and that sort of stuff, like that you and the targets for them and the receptions for them, they're better than running back receptions and they're better than the stats for tight ends. They ran them the fewest in the NFL. And I don't think that's necessarily an indictment on Gruden. Again, they didn't really have a lot there. Like, they had Aguilar, right? But they didn't, you know, Ruggs, you know, was we didn't get a full season out of him, and Bryan Edwards, you know, limitations there as well. But they've invested in it. And so I wish they had brought an Aguilar back and just, you know, said, hey, now we've got like a lot of bullets to throw. Maybe they were just priced out. But I do think it's really interesting. Like, there is some growth spots in this offense that can take it to even a higher spot. And I'm working on a theory that I've been talking about in the GroupMe chat. It's kind of like looking at quarterbacks of, you know, do you settle for a guy that's not elite and is sort of in the middle of the position and try and win around him? Or do you, you know, a la Cousins in Minnesota, you know, a la the way Eli was with the Giants, right? That's a really good case for it. Basically, you know, overturn the apple cart and take the huge upside shot the way Kansas City did. You know, they had an incumbent starter who was competent in Alex Smith. Jimmy Garoppolo, right? They said, we need to take a bigger swing. You know, what sort of do you do there? Derek Carr is a really interesting one in that, because I actually think that he has, if he has some more supporting cast at the receiver position, there is upside there that I think he could be one of the better passers in the league. But it's kind of far into his career. Maybe there's some regression stuff. But I do think it's a really interesting, you know, a really interesting situation. So their offensive line is much in flux. And so they added Nick Martin, you know, added John Brown, added Willie Snead, Kenyon Drake as well. They drafted Alex Leatherwood. They lost Rodney Hudson, 12th in terms of pass blocking grade last year for the center position. And, you know, a lot of the criticism was like, hey, you overturned your entire offensive line. Well, sort of. So they also lost Aguilar. They lost Devonta Booker. And they traded Trent Brown. He only had 282 snaps. So that wasn't a huge difference. So they bring back Colton Miller, 15th in terms of pass blocking, left tackle. He's a bad run blocker, but that's kind of what you want. You want the, you know, build around the passing game. Richie Incognito at left guard. Andre James is actually penciled in by our lads as being the starter. Nick Martin finished top 10 in the position in pass blocking that last year from Houston. So I think that'll be one where he can, where he's the more likely starter, but we'll see there. Denzel Good was one of the worst in terms of right guards, but then they bring in a first-rounder in Alex Leatherwood. There's some thought that he was overdrafted. You know, I think that they've got you know, the pieces, at least, to have a decent offensive line from a pass game perspective, at least. And, you know, they were 17th in terms of pass blocking last year. It wasn't like they had this super elite offensive line that they got antsy with. And, you know, they were amongst the highest paid offensive lines in the league last year. And they basically decided to upend it. So I don't necessarily fault them for that. Again, I don't have any, you know, any particular love for John Gruden or anything, but I think some of the criticism that they're getting is probably a little bit unfair. So looking at the offensive weapons here, this revolves around Darren Waller. I will say I'm following, you know, some of the news here in training camp, and Waller hasn't practiced in a week. It doesn't look like it's, you know, there was no noticeable limp. He was lifting, he spotted lifting weights. Gruden sort of downplayed it. I am cautious about, given his history, that I hope that there wasn't some sort of slip up on the drug front. I worry about that. It seems a little odd, you know, but Gruden didn't seem to think there was any problems and basically gave the old, oh, it's just, you know, oh, you know, so our guys, they're veterans, like they don't, you know, we can hold them out of practice type of deal. But it's not, doesn't really look like that. So just a word of caution there on that, that there's no real good answer. Waller, top four in terms of yards per route run, is ADOT 8.1. So that's actually 19th in terms of qualifiers to position. He ran for the guys that was really the guys that were really heavily targeted last year at the position. He the most at 140 according to PFF. He ran a lot of his stuff in line, so north of 54%. And to give you an idea, other guys in the top 12 at the position in terms of targets, the only one that had more is actually Noah Fant at 78%. So he's playing a largely traditional tight end role for the heavily targeted guys. And then once you sort of go past that, like Gronkowski played in line 82% of the time, Austin Hooper 66% of the time, but now you're looking in like the tight end two of target ranges in the teens there. So an interesting situation there with Waller, and we'll sort of see. I just want a little bit more information about why he's not practicing. So that's all. If he's playing, I think he's a really, really high end player. But I'm just have a little bit of concern with regards to why he's not actually, you know, participating in practice. So I think that's something to just keep an eye out, monitor for here going into the next, couple weeks or so, if you're just tracking the news about what the deal with that is. I'm sure we'll get something more. Maybe it could be contractual. It could be any sort of reason like that. I just think keep an eye on some of that. You've had, you know, the Xavien Howards, and you've had some other guys do basically the sit out, show up, hold out type deal. So just be mindful of that. If something's up there with Waller, keep in mind Foster Moreau. So he was a day three guy a couple years back, and there was some thought that maybe he was, you know, underdrafted, right? He should have gone earlier. And that position clears out now a little bit. So I do think, yeah, just keep in mind on that. And if you're going to do ad drops, waiver, something like that midweek, just keep in mind with Waller, like keep that information in mind. If you've got a spare roster spot or something like that, maybe a potential, you know, just a minimal bid or something on Moreau, and then you can potentially, you know, just capitalize on that. Not great comps, but actually tested out pretty well in terms of his athleticism. Wasn't particularly productive in college, but a 93% spark score according to Player Profiler. So just keep that one in mind. File it away, you know, if it's you're in, you know, you're doing waivers or something midweek and Waller's still sitting out and you're in tight end premium, something like that. Moreau might make some sense there to just as a speculative thing. And if you end up cutting him in a couple weeks, that's fine too. So looking at some of the other guys again, Bryan Edwards, only 14 targets last year, played 11 games, didn't run a ton, you know, ran basically 12 routes a game. So not a ton of involvement there. Your big producer was Nelson Aguilar at 2.04 yards per route run. So that's excellent. Waller, yeah, aforementioned, 2.27 yards per route run. So he was excellent. And Aguilar, again, off the scrap heap for basically nothing. So that's pretty good. Renfro sort of slots in there as being the only other guy that was targeted double-digit percentage, and that would have been him at 14.73%, 1.75 yards per route run. So that's good. Again, he's limited, and you really, for them to to be a productive team, I think you really need them to, get a good chunk of, to get a good chunk of production out of the receiving game. Only 43 targets last year, 13 games for Ruggs. Again, he was banged up a bit and did miss some time. 1.32 yards per route run. So you want to see that go up 8.5% of the targets there. So you need, what I think to really, for them to take a big step forward, you need Edwards and Ruggs to really be getting, 30-35% of the targets, and I think that would have a rising impact on this team. In terms of the Football Guys projections, you have Derek Carr. He has an RDP in terms of analytics at Dynasty going at quarterback 26. So again, that's interesting. He's projected to finished significantly better than that at 16th, so there's some equity there. He's actually projected to finish ahead of Matt Ryan too, so that's notable. It's not a huge difference, but ahead of Mayfield, Jones, Roethlisberger, Darnold, Goff, and he's more in the category of like Cousins and Stafford in terms of projections than he is guys like Mayfield. So I do think he's a potential, if you need a guy that has multi-year sort of runway or outs, he's an interesting one. Jacobs, 21 in terms of RDP, 19th in terms of projections. Drake, 42, 36 in terms of projections. Henry Ruggs, 47th in terms of RDP, 49th in terms of projections. So he'll be a faller if that happens. 63 for Brian Edwards, 81 in terms of where his Football Guys projections are. Interestingly, John Brown and Renfro are going real late in drafts, but both projected a couple of spots away from Edwards. So you figure that Edwards-Brown number, right? If you sort of look at that, I think there's a potential that those numbers aren't really true in terms of like Edwards is 38 receptions he's projected for, John Brown 35. I think that there's a good chance that that's probably more lopsided in one direction or another, and that spot in the offense actually goes more towards one person than being split 50-50. I think at this point it's probably Brian Edwards. He's playing ahead of John Brown in practice and has drawn some pretty favorable praise in camp. So he's a potential riser. Again, I'm not getting base rates, all that stuff. We know that those guys tend to be a little bit lower in terms of where they are. The guys that didn't really do well as rookies, you kind of fade them, that whole narrative. But just sort of keep in mind that if he beats out John Brown, like there could be a potential cash out opportunity, even if you don't like the base rate. Darren Waller is third in terms of his RDP. So they're kind of mixed up all right together there at the top of the position. With Kittle, Kelsey, and Pitts. Waller projected tight end 2 at Football Guys. 103 receptions, so love that. 269 points and 7.6 touchdowns. So that's ahead of Kittle by a very significant margin, too. It's ahead of Kittle by like a half a win. So just keep that in mind. We're monitoring the Waller situation just because I think it's something that probably hasn't picked up enough in the ethos or in the conversation. So, all right, well, I'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.